the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that begins in Y, so it's time for Wisecrackin' with Winter! Yay!
Sign me up for that.
Today's episode is brought to you by your friends over at Minnesota Superior Sound. Minnesota Superior Sound, your first and last choice for mobile DJ entertainment. Check them out. They're on Facebook. They have their own very own Facebook page.
Well, give the shit.
If you're looking for a deal, mention the podcast and receive a discount of an undisclosed amount. That's MinnesotaSuperiorSound.com. I own the company. We specialize in weddings. In all seriousness, we do an excellent job for the money. Don't be a cheap fuck and go out and get an iPod and a couple of speakers and then play it off like you're a DJ. Look at me! I got some equipment. Now I'm a DJ and a groom and a host. You can't do all that shit. You can't do it! You're going to wreck your own wedding. Do you want to be responsible for ruining your wedding? Or do you want to hire a fucking professional to come in and do it for you? I don't mean ruin the wedding. I mean make the wedding reception memorable. Hire Minnesota Superior Sound today. Ladies and gentlemen, today is going to be a heavier show. There's a lot going on in the news, and we need to buckle down. We need to get our fucking nose to the grindstones. That's why I brought in my lawyer buddy, Richie Barrister of Shakopee.
It's important. I'm glad that you said my lawyer buddy and not my lawyer, because I want to make sure that it's clear that I do not represent you.
You do not.
We do not.
Not yet.
Nothing. There's no attorney-client privilege will be formed as a result of this conversation.
None. So, Richie, what have you been up to?
Man, since last time I saw you, I feel like it was that right before the holidays? I don't know. We've had the holidays, the big ones, Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Before Santa came.
Christmas,
and
Santa came.
Ripped off all my money.
Yeah, man, I've just been, working, doing the, living life, dude.
Riveting.
It is, yeah. Well, and I listened to the podcast, and I heard you on the solo, what did you call it, Complaints du Jour podcast?
Yes.
And you were going all off on Santa Claus and...
Don't like that fat bastard.
Why? First off, I think we touched on the fact last time I was out here that your house was decorated like,
It looks like fucking...
Lampoon's fucking Christmas Vacation.
Santa's workshop.
Yeah, right. So I don't understand...
It has nothing to do with me. That's all my wife. That's how my wife celebrates fucking Christmas. Go to Walmart and buy $200 worth of bullshit then spray it all over my house and turn it into Santa's shop.
You don't like Santa? Yeah, and you're saying
Santa. No.
So you're like a big guy. So what? It's all about Jesus in the manger?
It's all about not being a hypocrite, Richie.
Like why? What do you mean?
I'm sorry if the mommies and daddies are driving around right now, and you got Billy and Sally and Johnny in the back seat, and they're all enjoying a Jell-O pudding pop from our friend Bill Cosby, who we'll get into later. Santa doesn't fucking exist. There is no Santa. Santa is a fucking fable.
Yeah.
He's a lie.
I'm glad you brought this up because...
He's a lie!
The thing about Santa is, as a parent of small kids, I've come to realize that Santa is the most real thing about Christmas.
For you.
Listen, we actually have friends that, they're Christians, they're good Christians, I consider myself a Christian, but when people take it too far and they want to negate Santa, and they're like, well, we don't have Santa because it's all about Jesus, To me, when your kid comes down, gets out of bed, and they come down in the morning, and you're fucking sitting there drinking your cup of coffee, and they, go, and they see a bunch of presents and shit.
Or in my case, I got a bottle of Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the realest thing about Christmas. That's Santa is real because Santa is the manifestation of a parent's love for their kids and like showing them a good time when they're kids.
Or is Santa a threat all year?
No.
Yeah, it is. Santa is a threat. It's a easy way for you to get out of having to, you know, punish the kids the right way. It's like, if you don't start listening, I'm texting Santa! And he's going to know exactly what you did. And he's not bringing you shit!
Dude, that
worked for me for, you know, 9 years with my daughter. But I told her the truth this year about Santa.
What was that?
Santa's Jewish.
Did you?
Santa is busy at temple. He's not really...
That was pretty... You got to tell this story, because I remember I talked to you a couple years ago, and you tried to do the... I'm going to tell Santa to your daughter, and what did she say to you?
I was going to what?
You told her, like... I remember you told her... You were telling me that it was right around Christmas, and you were saying, like, she was acting a fool, and you said something like... I'm going to call Santa, or I'm going to tell Santa.
No, I actually called Santa. I got my phone out, and I dialed what I thought would be the number for the North Pole, and I pretended to talk to Santa. And I even held the phone away from my ear as if Santa was screaming at me about my daughter's behavior. And then Santa hung up on me, and I just sat and stared at the phone and looked at the phone, looked at my kid, looked at the phone, looked at my kid. I'm like, Santa is so pissed right now. I think he's in there beating the elves to take it out, just to get it out of his system. But no, yeah, I mean, it worked. But this year I told my kid the truth. I said, there is no Santa. And she knew it. She knew it already.
Yeah.
I said, I'm Santa. Santa is an idea. Okay?
Yeah.
Santa is a feeling.
Well, I told my friend's kids that there's no Jesus. So
of course.
We're even, dude.
All right. Have fun burning in hell.
No. I mean, seriously, people who are negative on Santa, I don't have time for that shit, dude. It's for the kids. It's fun.
Well,
my daughter, I got a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Sure.
So the 6-year-old's still on board. My daughter, she knows the drill. And
right.
She knows that basically, look, if you want to fucking spoil it, say goodbye to half your presents, dude. You know what I mean? Like, if she spills the beans, she knows she's out of luck. So she's playing along. She's not going to fuck up, so.
So she's backing up your lie.
Yeah.
To get more stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Because that's what Christmas is all about, stuff.
Yeah.
Right, counselor?
It is. That is what it's about. That's the other thing. Yeah, because you were saying that, too, about it. Oh, it's materialism.
It is.
Dude, do you know that in America, our fucking economy, there are businesses in our economy that their whole year, the way they survive is the shit that they sell for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important, it's an economic fucking thing. It's goodwill, good feelings, presents.
Guilt.
Purchasing power.
Spoiling.
Sharing, you know, going out, spending some money, having a good meal, fucking getting presents for people, stimulating the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Oh, what should we do? Let's just sit and fucking think about the manger and the fucking, you know.
Does it gotta be so overblown? Does it gotta be in my fucking face every day of the month of December and November? I mean, before Thanksgiving, I gotta fucking see Santa drinking a Coke on TV. It doesn't need to be shoved down my throat the way it is, is what I'm getting at. You know, okay, maybe I don't
Christmas
really have
is
a
shoved down your throat.
Christmas is shoved down my throat like a giant dick in a porn, and I'm some kid off the street willing to do anything for $50. That's what Christmas is like to me. Okay, I don't need it in my face like that. I should be able to knock the dick out of my face and get a break. You know, I just don't. It's,
you're Catholic, dude.
Yeah, so what? And I
you're
go,
acting
and,
like you're like. You know, another religion.
What?
You're more you're acting like a Muslim
it's
or
just,
a Jewish person. You're getting pissed about...
It's just too much. It's too much. I don't mind the idea of Santa. I just don't need it in my face every time I turn around for 2 months.
This?
Fuck my wife's
opinion.
Do you
say opinion. This type of
shit? Huh?
Do
what?
You say this when she's like putting shit all over the house?
Yes!
Because your house is full of shit.
I know.
Your house is like coming to like one of those like Christmas, like when you go up north and there's like a like the Christmas village store.
Yes.
That's like your house, dude.
I openly mock her as she does it.
Yeah.
I sit there and drink a beer. I refuse to help.
Yeah.
I'll hold the ladder while she's on the roof putting the lights on.
You're fucking Scrooge McMike, dude.
Yep, I am. You know, if it was more like when, if it was more like when we were kids, in the 80s, all right, when it wasn't jammed down your throat every 2 seconds, it'd be different.
Okay. I don't remember the 80s being like a non-materialistic.
It was very non-materialistic. Time. That's what the 80s are
the
known
non-materialistic
for.
Non-materialistic 80s, dude. Touch, dude.
Ronald Reagan even said it. Well, we're not going to shove Christmas down your throat this year, kids. Mm. Just a little bit of Christmas, and that'll
you're
be enough.
American, dude.
And
you're
say no to drugs. You're out of your mind.
You're out of touch.
Dude. I don't care. You know what? It's over. Let's bring it up in December again.
So what about the New Year? Did you make any New Year's resolutions?
No, those are bullshit. I don't do that.
Like,
dude, nobody follows through with New Year's resolutions.
I'm following through right now.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I mean, it's personal. I don't want to get into it. But
well, you know, this is a personal podcast.
I'm following through.
Share with the rest of the kids in the phone house.
I'm following through. I'm trying to think. I mean, I made several. I don't want to reveal, you know, there's a couple in particular I don't want to reveal, but.
Well, how about one? One that's kind of an easy one.
Well, I mean, I'm reading books at a pretty good clip.
Jesus Christ.
That's
good. I usually have a thing of reading, try to read a book a month, but I'm ahead of that pace right now, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah, I guess I can't really share my resolutions, dude.
Okay.
But you don't make them. You think they're bullshit.
Pretty much.
I'm big into them. I like them.
I just think most people don't stick with them. So if you stick with them, then hey, that's good for you. I guess I did resolve to drink less caffeine. Unless it's before a show. Then I amp it up. But I have been drinking less caffeine lately.
Kick it up a notch.
Yeah. I got to get my blood pressure down, dude.
That would be. Oh, really? You got some high blood pressure?
I did. I mean, I don't want to get all Paul on it and talk about it for 35 minutes, but it's. it was.
Tell me word for word verbatim your discussion with your.
Should I do it as Paul?
Insurance.
If you don't know who Paul is my political pundit that comes on now and again. And I love him. He's a brother to me. He is a brother. He's like my big brother. But his voice, even though he has very interesting things to say, and he always has, and he always will be interesting to me, his there's no inflection. It's okay. I'll do Paul talking about high blood pressure. So, yeah. I went to the doctor today, and I produced my medical card to show that to the receptionist, and she glanced at it and said, you're going to need to go to the Minute Clinic with this particular card. And I was like, what's up with that? You know? I drove 45 miles here, and I was expecting to be seen. And you know what she said? She said, yeah, I guess that's too bad. So I'm like, what the fuck? And I left, you know?
Excuse me. Oh.
And then he'll do that. God love him. I love Paul, though. I love him. It's fun to make fun of
dude,
him once in a while.
The episode where you guys were at that, what was the music festival that you went to in Wisconsin?
That would be,
fucking.
I was so drunk.
Rockfest.
Rockfest in, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Whatever.
Dude, he was going off. He, you know, he had got a little tuned up and was going off on the dude about the Confederate flags and shit.
Yeah, he was tuned up. We drank like a whole case of beer that day.
Dude, that's when Paul gets animated, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But the thing was, he was still like coherent in making. He was scoring points from a logistical standpoint, dude. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he should develop a drinking habit, dude.
I don't know what his deal is. Yeah, I think he tenses up a little bit.
Yeah, dude, you guys used to always, you know, go back and forth and get riled up and shit.
But right. It's kind of hard to shake him up these days.
He's more staid.
He's a staid type of guy.
He's chilling.
Speaking of staid type of guys, can we get into Bill Cosby and what's going on with that
guy? Let's get into Bill. You just showed me an article.
I did.
The latest developments in his trial in Pennsylvania.
Our Bill lost a case, right?
I don't think he lost a case. It sounds like he lost a hearing from what I read, where they basically, I don't know, they're doing their pretrial stuff. And they were, I don't know, the article was saying he's got some different motions coming up. And it sounds like the big issue is he had an agreement with a prosecutor from before where, you know, the Fifth Amendment is the one that you, you know, can't be compelled to testify against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so how that sometimes happens is when there's a criminal trial and a civil trial, people don't want to have to, you know, there's no Fifth Amendment protection in a civil trial unless there's a potential that you could be prosecuted in a criminal trial. So in other words, if you've already been tried, if you've been tried in criminal court, and say you were acquitted, came back not guilty.
Right.
Because you can't be tried, you know, double jeopardy, you can't be tried again for the same crime. Now, but if there's a civil case where someone's trying to get money from you for doing something, for doing that same act, you could be made to testify because the threat of you going to, you know, the criminal threat is removed because that has been resolved. So the Cosby thing, it sounds like there's a prosecutor who made like basically like an immunity deal with him because he's like, I won't be able to win on the criminal case, but if I remove, you know, if I make this agreement that I'm not going to prosecute you, then you don't have a Fifth Amendment right to be remain silent. Basically, it was like that way he would be able to be questioned about those things in a civil trial. But I don't know what happened with that. I didn't read the whole article, but
it's weird how he got so sick in a year. Wasn't he doing Comedy Central specials? Yeah,
they were saying in this article, they're like, well, one of the issues might be if he's competent to stand trial because he's 78 and he's like acting feeble now. When literally he was like, I mean, he was like doing stand-up comedy like a year ago. He had a new special on Comedy Central.
Right.
And now supposedly he can't be. You know, there's a question as to whether or not he's even competent to stand trial, you know, like he's frail and confused. You know, they'll have to have a hearing about, you know, be questioned about whether or not he understands what's going on and blah, blah, blah.
So if you were his lawyer and I'm Bill and we're about to go to court, we're leading up to court. Okay. You sat me down. You're like, what would you tell me to do? I mean, Bill, you got to change some stuff up. I mean, how would you phrase it? To make the judge sympathetic, you know.
Oh, how would I, like, coach him?
Maybe? How would you coach me up if I was fucking Bill Cosby? And I'd love to be Bill Cosby. Rape charges and all. I mean, he's got billions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, because I couldn't coach you up to act.
Well, let's say you're a crooked attorney.
No, I mean, what would happen is, you know, you'd be questioned by the prosecutor and they'd, you know, they'd try, well, or, you know, I suppose sometimes they'll have, like, a, you know, somebody from the county or something like that come in and ask you some questions about, you know, do you know what this is about? You know, I mean, that's the type of shit. I don't know what they do with an old guy. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I've never done, like, a, you know, when you have an old person and you're trying to get them committed or some shit like that, you know.
Well, I think Bill just rolled out of bed one day and he was, just felt sick. I think he picked up a newspaper. Uh-oh! Turns out I'm going to court.
Now, Mr. Cosby, do you know why you're here today?
No! It's 1985, isn't it? I'm here to sell Jell-O Pudding Pops. Ain't I at the Jell-O Pudding Pop Factory?
I'm starting to sound like Stephen Fetchett, but it's...
Mr. Cosby, do you know where you are right now?
Well, I'm on the set of The Cosby Show. Where's Rudy at? And that damn Vanessa. We got lines to go through before the show. Am I in a lawyer's office? Where's Claire? Claire! Theo!
Now, sitting next to you is Camilla. Do you recognize Camilla? Do you know who she is? Is it Camilla or Camille? What's his wife's name?
Camille.
I'd have never met that woman before in my life. Hi, I'm Bill Cosby. Would you like to take this pill?
Yeah, so Bill's in trouble. Bills, sounds like they're going for it. I don't know. Which, you know, I think last time I was here, or I mean, I've had this thought before of whenever they talk about that Cosby thing, people always say, like, allegedly this and allegedly that. And I was always like, well, why would you say allegedly? Because what's he going to do? I mean, what would he do? He's going to sue you for defamation, right?
Right.
But he doesn't want to do that because then you could just call all these witnesses that are going to, you know what I mean? I mean, the truth is a defense against defamation, so that would open the door. But it sounds like he's, didn't you say he's suing some of the people for defamation?
I thought he was, like a few of them.
But point being, it's like at this point, it's like, well, now he is going to get into the shit, so maybe you should start saying allegedly. If you refer to Bill Cosby doing shit, because, you know, he does have a lot of dough, so now it sounds like he's going to come out guns blazing and go on the offensive. Since he's going to go down in flames anyway, he might as well,
fine.
Sue some people.
That's fine. I'll just take it all back. Allegedly, Bill Cosby put his big black dick into a woman that he allegedly drugged, and then he allegedly raped that woman with his big black dick. On the floor or in his room or whatever he did.
Well, the allegation in the Pennsylvania case is that he just used his digital penetration.
Bill Cosby allegedly...
And by digital penetration, I don't mean the kind of penetration that the... What's the podcast network called?
Potter and Family. Oh, yeah, we joined.
I don't mean the digital penetration that Potter and Family is getting into the podcast market. I mean finger into drugged woman. Penetration is so, what's alleged in the Pennsylvania case.
He allegedly put one finger into a woman and fingered.
He didn't say how many fingers. Could have been more than
one. There's no woman that you can only... I mean, most women, it's always two. It's two. Two in the pink, one in the steak. We all know that, right, Richie?
So now is...
allegedly, yeah. He did that.
Well, there's no allegations about the stink. Just... This is getting... I'm gonna talk.
This is the way
I'm uncomfortable with the tone of this conversation.
That's fine, right, but just to wrap it up, this is how I allegedly see these things going on. Bill allegedly gives somebody a pill. That person allegedly gets stoned. Bill then allegedly bends this woman over an alleged bed and then gives it to her from behind while eating a Jell-O pudding pop, allegedly. Then when he's done with the Jell-O pudding pop, he allegedly will take that stick and stick it in her butthole and then pull it out and eat it. Allegedly. Allegedly. Because Bill is America's father, and he's probably innocent. Allegedly.
America's father.
He's America's father.
Well, that got pretty gross.
It got gross quick, didn't it? It really went off the rails fast.
What were some of the other, let's change gears here. What were some of the other topics?
What about the Super Bowl?
What about it? I don't have any good takes on that.
No good takes?
Well, I mean, you know.
Who do you like? Carolina or Denver?
I mean, I like Carolina. I mean, I would like it to be a good game. That's what I would like. I'd like it to be a good game.
I think we all would like that.
I wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know. I mean, you know, if Peyton, last time Manning was in the Super Bowl, wasn't that where he hiked the ball over his shoulder and he just looked like an idiot the whole game? They just stunk it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that doesn't happen. You know, I like that. I kind of like the way Denver's defense terrorized Tom Brady. I mean,
dude, they buried that guy. They buried that guy.
That was the first time I've ever seen that dude look flustered, so that was cool. I mean, not that I don't have anything against the Patriots, but it was just cool to see, you know, them get after him like that. And
Tom Brady's wicked awesome.
He's wicked.
Wicked awesome.
So, yeah. So, you know, I just want there to be a good game, basically.
I think the spread is 6.
Oh, really?
Panthers.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Would you take the points in the Panthers, or would you take Denver?
I would take the Panthers if the spread is 6, because I think the Panthers are going to... I mean, I'm afraid like I said, I want it to be a good game. What I'm afraid is that the Panthers are going to win by fucking 20. You know what I mean?
I'm going to guess the Panthers win by less than 6, to be honest with
you.
Because I think fucking Peyton is going to leave it all out there. Because this is his last game.
Well, yeah.
He can't even throw a spiral anymore.
That's
all he can do is throw pizzas.
He already left it all out there. That's what I'm saying. I think he already left it.
No, he's got one more. He's got one more in the tank. He's like a thoroughbred. They're going to stick that steroid capsule right in his asshole. And he's going to be running out. A Jell-O pudding pop steroid. That doesn't make any sense. But they're going to stick that in his ass, and he's going to fly onto that field like a man possessed. And I,
you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be pretty sweet if he did.
He can't have Eli Manning having more Super Bowl wins than him.
Does he have any Super Bowl wins?
Peyton has one.
Does he?
Eli has two.
He's got two.
Two.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
They've both been twice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the game. I watched a lot of football this year, man. I watched, my kids got into watching that, you know, we watch the Vikes every week, and then we watched, you know, we would usually watch the Sunday night game.
I can't get anybody in my house to watch the games.
No.
Just me. It's me and two girls. The cat will.
Doesn't your daughter, my kids love the, whatchamacallit, is it Carrie Underwood, or who's the, you know, that opening thing? On the Sunday Night Football.
Oh, yeah, that's her.
Is that Carrie Underwood? They love that.
Yeah.
For that thing.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah. No, not a, they don't say, are you ready? What are they? She says,
are you ready?
Waiting
to...
all day for Sunday night. Oh. Yeah, they love that.
It's more like, are you ready to hit pause and jerk off and look at me on the screen?
Sign me up for that.
Yeah, no, the kids, they like it. They watch, you know, my son's a front runner. Like, no matter what happens... You know, he starts out with who jersey he likes, and then, like, he'll say, so, like, for example, on the Super Bowl, like, he'll start out, they both like the Broncos jerseys and their logo, so they'll start out rooting for the Broncos, but, like, as soon as the Panthers score, he'll be like, actually, I want the Panthers to win. Like, literally, he just will switch immediately, so, I don't know, it's fun. It's fun to watch.
It's just a TV show.
It's good, yeah.
It doesn't affect your life negatively one way or the other.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah. I'm having a big Super Bowl party here.
Oh, are you really?
On Sunday, yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
I didn't invite you.
About it. Yeah,
no. Glad no. Oh, you're invited.
Yeah, sweet.
Well, you know, you still got 2 days.
Yeah,
sweet. Can you come up with a homemade dish to pass?
Some kind of, yeah, we'll see. See how it goes.
I really think, are you burned out on the Super Bowl now?
Yeah, I mean, what is there to say? I mean, I think the Panthers are going to romp.
Do you watch it for the commercials?
Yeah.
Like no. Most ladies do? That's what my wife says.
Really?
I don't want to watch any of the game. Just yell at me when the commercials are on.
Yeah.
Or the halftime show.
They seem like they've been lame the last couple of years, too.
Coldplay, dude.
Jesus Christ.
That's the halftime entertainment.
Oh, is it? Coldplay?
Coldplay?
Wasn't it Rihanna? I thought it was Rihanna.
You know what? I don't even know who the fuck it is. I thought it was Coldplay.
I don't know. We're not up on things, Mike.
I'm a little let down by my... I could have swore it was Coldplay. I'm just going to look it up. Super Bowl 2016. Come on, Google.
This has been Web Surfing with Winter.
Yeah. Super Bowl 2016 halftime show. Hey, Bill Burr does this all the time. He'll just stop in the middle of his.
Well, yeah, he's a world-famous comedian who's really funny, and we're just two dipshits in your basement. What?
Hey, everybody starts somewhere. The national anthem. Yeah, no, it's Coldplay, dude. I told you it was Coldplay.
But, I mean, I think that got switched. I thought it was Rihanna. I thought on the promos they were showing...
No.
Some hot African-American babe.
Mm-mm. Coldplay will lead the halftime show.
Well, there you go. I don't know if I know a single Coldplay song.
Oh, but they're bringing in extra performers. They're bringing in past halftime show performers, Beyonce and Bruno Mars.
Wow.
They're expected to come out and join Chris Martin. Okay. So it's Coldplay, Beyonce, and Bruno Mars.
Well, there you go.
You know, that's reason enough to turn it off and watch the Kitten Bowl, right?
I think so.
The Kitten Bowl. Have you ever looked at the Kitten Bowl?
No.
Have you heard about it?
Yeah.
That's Howard Stern's wife that does that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but the Kitten Bowl goes on for like 9 hours, like the entire day.
Do you listen to Stern or no?
I listen to Stern every day.
Do you?
I'm on his dick.
Are you? Well, aren't people kind of starting to think like he's kind of starting to suck?
He's not starting to suck.
Not starting to suck, but not as good as it used to be.
He's not as angry as he used to be because he's a billionaire, and that helps. And his wife is like blazing hot now. He got rid of the old fat one, got a new skinny hot one, sees a therapist three times a week, and he's a billionaire.
Right.
So I'd say he's gotten more professional, and the show has gotten better as a result.
Yeah.
You know, if this is going to turn into a Stern fan show podcast, I mean, briefly, I think he's, you know, I listened to him back in the day when he was angry.
Right.
But the thing is, he could never get a real good guest. He always had his whack pack, the fucking weirdos that would come in, and then he'd have lesbians, and then he'd have porn stars.
Right.
And then he'd have the occasional B actor.
Right.
But now he's bringing in major league A-list guests.
Well, yeah, I've been listening on, whatchamacallit, I listen on YouTube. I'll go on and listen to the, because, like, they post the interviews. And obviously he must, they, you know, they must allow them to, you know, they don't make them take them down. So, you know, every couple weeks I'll go on there and listen to, he's had, like, Madonna on. And,
they're good, aren't they?
Major. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, I mean, he's a good interviewer.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a break now. I got to talk about a couple of good friends of mine.
Right on.
The good people over at Three is Comedy, a podcast out of California I've been interacting with. I'm gonna do a new segment. Okay, you ready for the new segment?
Let's hear it.
Okay, new segment is Mike's Podcast Picks of the Week.
Nice.
Brought to you by Minnesota Superior Sound. I'm going to recommend Three is Comedy and the Chill Side Podcast. Okay, these are two podcasts that I've been enjoying recently, along with another new one that I found, and that one's name is Center City Comedy. So listen to Center City Comedy. That's really good.
Five. Where's Center City?
Center City, it's
Iowa?
No, I think they're in New York. Or Philadelphia, one or the other. It's like five stand-up comedians. None of them are big names. They just sit down and they riff for an hour. They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Three is Comedy. They're out of California. Yeah. It's like a KS95 morning show.
Okay.
And then another one called Chillside Podcast. And I'm actually going to play you this guy's little 20-second ad right now. Can you barely take the suspense, Nate?
Let's hear it.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. Welcome to Chillside, the all-media podcast where we talk about your favorite movies, TV shows, audiobooks, books, podcasts, video games, whatever your little heart desires. You can check us out at iTunes, Stitcher, ChillsidePodcast.com, Google Play, pretty much anywhere where you can listen to a fucking podcast. So come and enter the world of Chillside where we spew into your ear holes.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason from the Three Is Comedy podcast featuring myself and fellow podcast comedians Bob and Mindy. Our podcast is a variety comedy show featuring a wide range of segment topics aimed at turning everyday life into laughter. But we also happen to be pretty good rappers. Three Is Comedy, saying a spelling bee.
Three fine folks bringing laughter to the family.
Tell the kids to leave because we're dropping profanity.
Okay, so maybe we're not good rappers, but we do know how to bring the comedy. You can check us out on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can visit our website, 3iscomedy.podbean.com.
So that's that.
That's that.
Listen to those. You listen to a lot of podcasts. What can you recommend?
Oh, man, I've been listening to so many fucking podcasts, dude.
Richie's top three. Here it is.
My top three?
Wisecracking with Winter. Fucking Winter. Better be on there.
Yeah, Wisecracking with Winter is obviously number one. You know, I do like to listen to Joey Diaz. You know who Joey Diaz is?
No.
You know, he's a comedian. He's a pretty funny dude. You know, I listen to Bill Burr once in a while. I kind of go back and forth on him. I started listening a little bit to there's this dude named, do you know who Tim Ferriss is?
No, never heard of him.
He wrote a book called, most famous for writing a book called The 4-Hour Body, which had a chapter in it called The 15-Minute Orgasm.
Really? Have you ever achieved that?
No.
Well, it's kind of misleading. It's not that you will have an orgasm for 15 minutes. It's that you can help a woman achieve orgasm in 15 minutes.
That sounds like a godsend.
It's not bad. I mean, you know.
Has it worked? Have you ever tried it?
No.
I mean, I was familiar with the techniques that he describes in the book beforehand, but I wish I had been familiar with the techniques when I was, like, younger. You know what I mean?
But when you were younger, like, did you give a fuck if she came or not? Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would be more fun. You get more repeat business if you know these techniques, you know?
Yeah.
So I wish that I had known. You know, it's the type of advice that I will hand down to both of my kids, actually, because the thing...
One of your kids is a daughter.
Right, because the thing, basically, the key technique is, you know... I don't have to tell you this.
I don't know, obviously, because my wife does not have 15-minute or doesn't come in 15 minutes. I've never had a woman that came in 15 minutes.
Well, it's like we were talking about with Cosby. Cosby knows.
Cosby knows how to drug women.
It's digital penetration, dude.
Fingering?
Fingering.
Can we just call spade
call what
spade?
It is. Call spade.
Fingering.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the whole key is you're not really going to be very productive with, you know, the things that make you happy.
Your unit.
Right. Which is why it's good advice, I think. And this is the sign of something. What you know something is good advice where it's like applicable across the board. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So this is why I mean it's good for boys and girls. Because if your daughter is going to be
sexually
active. Yeah.
Eventually.
Then you would prefer her to know, look, if you want to enjoy yourself... Let the dude use his hands. Don't put his...
I'm not giving my kid that speech. That's her mother's job. I don't want to be the one, hey, Emma, if you want to get off, you're 16 now. Make sure he uses his fingers.
But this is what I'm saying. I have actually thought about it, and like this is what I am going to tell both my kids. Look,
okay.
If you want to have fun,
yeah.
Use the hand, dude. Better for her, better for you if you are her. And if you're a dude, you don't need the drama, man.
Of what?
Of, like, possible impregnation, you know.
So you're telling your son to never get his dick wet?
No, I mean,
you're saying use your hand
easy.
And leave your dick in your pants.
For a kid, well, no, I don't want to say kid, but for a young man.
A teen.
Yeah, for a young man to, you know, get his nut on.
Right.
You stick it in, you know. I mean, that is actually... I mean, listen. For us, if you have a son, you have to give him a speech of, like, don't put your dick in the... Like, that's the thing that they talked about that on Stern, I heard. Where, like, the kid stuck his dick in, like, an air conditioning unit and fucking lost his penis. I mean, that's the type of warning you have to give a boy is, like, don't stick your dick in a fucking bottle because it could get stuck, you know?
Right.
So they're going to...
What
you don't need to worry about him whether or not he's going to achieve orgasm. You know what I mean? That's not a concern. So it's, you know.
Has it ever taken you 15 minutes to come? Be honest. Tell me the truth.
I mean, you know, in a rare.
Like when you have whiskey dick. Like when you've been drinking and you can usually fuck all night.
Yeah. I mean.
I can. And all night is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, and even then, well, I don't want to get into it. I don't, you know.
Yes, you do.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants to fuck for a long time?
No. Nobody wants that.
Chicks
don't. Not in my experience.
And every porno I've seen.
Exactly.
I know. That's not real life. I mean, women dry out after a while. They run out of lube. Then you got to pull it out and spit on your hand and put it back in. Well, that's what they do in the pornos. I mean, I've never done that myself.
Yeah.
But can you like give us like a cliff notes of what you're supposed to be doing with your fingers?
Dude, just read the book. I'm not going to break down how to.
This is your New Year's resolution? Reading this book?
No, not this book.
Maybe it was your wife's.
This guy has a pod. Anyway, point being, Tim Ferriss has a podcast, which is pretty decent.
He
has
Tim Ferriss. Okay.
Tim Ferriss. Yeah. I just listened to an episode he had. Who's the actor? Ed Norton. You know who that is?
Yep.
That dude's pretty fucking cool.
Ed?
Ed's cool. And this Tim Ferriss guy, like, I'm predisposed to kind of hate him at first, you know, because he's just like, you know, he's like, he had a New Year's resolution podcast, and it was like, my New Year's resolution is to stop investing in startup companies. You know, he's like that guy. So he does have a douche factor, but, you know, I think he's just a genuinely, you know, he's like an interested dude who's interested in lots of shit, and, you know, he is kind of cool. He just comes off kind of a little bit fucking tech Silicon Valley sometimes.
You know what else is kind of cool?
Who?
Jesse Duncan of Keller Williams Premier Realty. Now, I don't know if he knows anything about this hand process that you're going on and on about, and making girls come in 15 minutes and this and that, but I'll tell you what Jesse can do. Jesse can sell you a fucking house quicker than you could say Jackrabbit. Jesse Duncan is the most accomplished realtor I've ever met in my life, aside from Paul Lambie, also a realtor in Indiana.
This is the old Mike Winter trick of doing competing fucking ads.
That's where this is going. I have two realtors as sponsors. Jesse Duncan of Keller Williams Premier Realty in Minnesota, and Paul Lambie of, couldn't tell you who he works for, in Indianapolis. Both good realtors. Here's what you need to do. If you really want to do the Pepsi challenge here, buy a house in Minneapolis, then buy a winter home in Indianapolis from Paul Lambie. And see
a winter home in Indianapolis.
Sunny, right. It's
sunny Indianapolis.
It's a lot warmer in Circle City than it is here, is what I've been told. So anyway, there it is. Mitch, are you listening? I think he is. Find Paul Lambie's real estate company. Make sure it's in the show notes. So if you're in Indiana, Paul Lambie
get
is your man.
Get the fuck out of there.
He's your fucking man.
If you're in Indiana, if you're it, listen.
Listen, if you're Indiana, racist and you're in Indiana,
sell your home and move to Minnesota and hire Keller Williams.
That's the perfect plan there. Thank you, Richie.
If you're in Indianapolis, you want to get the fuck out of there.
Yes.
Because it's like Minneapolis without the culture.
Indiana is full of racists, and it's full of banjo pickers, and it's full of NASCAR events. You have no business being there if you're even slightly educated. Get Paul Lambie to sell your home now. Today.
Get the fuck out of there.
Today. Get the fuck out of there already. And move to Minnesota and have Jesse Duncan of Keller Williams Premier Realty get you another house.
Get you into a home.
Get you into your home. All right? Let's get that done today.
There you go. Playing right. Both sides of the field.
Two sides against the middle.
What else you got going on, Mike?
Twitter versus Facebook.
Now, you were telling me that you've been engaged on Twitter.
Yes.
You're very active.
Yes.
And as a result, tell the people about the results you're seeing, Mike.
Here it is, dude. For like the past year, I've been leaning on Facebook for listeners.
Okay.
Which is a mistake. Let me tell you who Facebook is for.
Let's recap.
Facebook is for mommies and daddies who want to take pictures of their dinner and their fucking kids. And their fucking Candy Crush updates. Hey, will you join Candy Crush so I can get an extra turn on my fucking video game? That's Facebook. That's Facebook.
Dinner.
It's a bullshit organization. And even if you pay to promote your show like I have. I paid the extra $5 so it would reach an extra 5,000 people.
Yeah.
That's a crock of shit, too, because I think that it's just people in like India or something that they're sending it to that can't even fucking read it.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a crock of shit. My numbers never went up as a result of anything I've ever did on Facebook. And it's not like you can count on your friends in quotation marks to listen to your show, because they fucking don't. They don't listen at all, aside from like maybe a few, and my fucking relatives don't listen to it at all either. I had one relative. I was at my uncle's funeral a couple weeks ago. This show is dedicated to him. God bless you, Uncle Chuck.
Uncle Chuck.
Uncle Chuck.
He will be missed.
He is missed. And
is that Big G's brother?
That's the Big G of this show. Show's brother. Okay.
Wow. Dude, shout out to Big G, dude.
Big shout out to Big G, that baller.
Dude, missed that dude. He hasn't been on for a while, dude.
He's in Texas. He was going to try to get on today and talk about the Super Bowl.
Is he like a snowbird? Does he like live down there?
He's a snow gangster, dude.
Does he?
Yeah.
Where does he go in Texas?
Down to Brownsville.
No shit.
Right on the fucking border.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, that's where, like, I mean, I literally, like, met dudes in Mexico who were, like, talking about sneaking across the border in Brownsville, dude.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
that's where it pops off.
He's in the shit.
What does Big do? Next time you get him on, you got to ask him, what does he think about, you know, the immigration debate, dude?
We can get into something deep.
Get into that, dude. See what he has to say about that.
But anyway, so I'm at this wake, right, for my Uncle Chuck.
Right.
And I have a relative come up to me and say, yeah, it's too bad about Chuck, right? I'm like, yeah, it really is. He's a great guy. I really liked him.
Yeah.
He's still doing that podcast, right? I'm like, yeah, yeah. I advertise it on Facebook every week. Yeah, about that. I tried listening, and I couldn't get through 5 minutes because of all the swearing. So, I won't be listening anymore. I'm like, well, it's not like you really ever did. I'm like, well, can I ask, what episode did you listen to? Oh, that was the one with your dad.
I don't give a shit.
You guys are talking about football, and the Big G was swearing, and I couldn't take it. All right, well, you know, to each their own. Go back to the Good Neighbor or, you know, public radio, wherever the fuck you listen to.
Yeah.
You know? So, there's your Facebook in action.
So?
People like that.
Twitter.
But then Twitter. Twitter, introduced to me by you, Richie Barrister.
Right, that's right.
I didn't really understand Twitter a year ago.
Yeah.
Twitter's been a godsend. Like, between that and I got some help from another friend of mine. My wife's cousin, his name is Rob, and he runs the Grandstand USA. It's like they give you information on how to do fantasy sports and where to bet.
Okay.
And stuff like that, like right. Deep analysis.
Okay.
He's like huge in the Twitter.
Yeah.
And he uses a couple of apps to acquire more friends and
yeah.
Or not friends. Like I gotta get out of the Facebook fucking mode.
Yeah.
It's
followers.
Not, it's followers yeah. On Twitter.
Right.
But he showed me how to acquire more and kind of coached me up on that. And as a result, I went from 19 followers to I think I have 800.
Oh yeah.
And like not even a little over a month.
Right on.
And you know, as a result of being more engaged with Twitter. The last two guests I had on were from Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. These people that I'm promoting, Chillside and Three is Comedy, that's a result of Twitter.
Yeah.
My show is being played on other, well, like, I have a little commercial for my show.
Right.
And that's being played on other podcasts now.
Pottern Family.
On the Pottern Family Network. I joined the Pottern Family Network.
Nice. And so, wait, can I ask you something about that?
Yeah.
Do you, like, do you have to pay to be on that or no?
No.
And do you have to pay, because I remember, like, way back in the day, I used to listen to Adam Carolla. I still do, okay, you know, I listen more now to the Adam and Dr. Drew show, but.
Sure.
I used to listen to just the straight up Adam Carolla podcast, like, the first couple years it was on. And I remember that it was a big issue because he was always talking about how much they spend on bandwidth. Who the fuck's... I thought that, like, the internet, you put shit up there, and then if someone wants to download it, like, that's on them. You know what I mean? Like,
it's what's a storage.
Who pays for bandwidth?
Well, that'd be a good question for Mitch.
Yeah.
Mitch Hagerud is my executive producer, and he's the one that handles all my IT things.
Yeah. But you don't pay for bandwidth, do you?
Well, we pay for to get listed on Blurberry. Or Blueberry. No, Blurberry. It's like a podcast network thing.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure what it is. But
like, what about iTunes?
Like, do we don't pay for iTunes. I do pay to have my website address.
Yeah.
You know, whatever right. That's called, a domain.
Yeah. Well, it was like $10 a month or something.
It's like $75 a year.
Yeah.
And then I pay another $40 for this Blurberry thing,
yeah.
Which makes posting the show up online a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah.
and easier to find. And then it keeps track of my numbers. A lot of people really get into the fucking numbers. You know, like I went into some chat rooms and was just reading off some stuff that other podcasters were talking about.
Yeah.
And they're really obsessed with the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I got to find my number. I got to find out what my numbers are. Yeah. I can't be wasting time. Why is it so fucking important?
Right.
As long as you've got one listener, you're winning. There's 250,000 podcasts out there. Okay. Not to mention on-demand television. Not to mention, you know, the YouTube. Not to mention every other distraction out there.
Yeah.
If you know, I think I end up with like 200 to 400 downloads an episode or a month or something like that. Right. I'm happy with that.
Right.
You know, these are people that don't know me.
Right.
From Adam.
Right.
And take time out of their day to listen to me. Right. When you've got all those other fucking options.
Yeah.
You know, you're winning.
As long as you have that Keller Williams Premier Realty money.
Keller Williams money, dude, is it's paying for...
paying for Santa Claus?
Yeah, basically.
Right on, man. Well, yeah, I just didn't know. I don't, you know, I mean, ultimately, I guess I just have to admit that I'm like that fucking, you know, legislator who thinks there's like a series of tubes that the internet goes through and shit. It's like, I don't, you know, I mean, I may as well say that because I really don't know what the fuck how it works.
So. Right.
What else you got?
Dude, what I also have, the problem with moving into a cul-de-sac.
Oh, yeah. What is the problem with that?
Here's the problem. I think if you move into a cul-de-sac in a suburban neighborhood, obviously, because they don't have those in the cities.
Right.
I think your family is doomed to fall apart.
Why?
Why? Okay, I'll give you a case study.
Okay.
How's that, counselor? My sister and her husband moved into a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
What was it? I don't know. 14 years ago?
Okay.
13 years ago?
Is this story going to end with your sister's marriage falling apart?
Oh, no. No. It did, but every marriage on that cul-de-sac fell apart.
Really?
Every single one. It's just debauchery. Here's how it always starts.
Debauchery?
Debauchery happens.
Really?
Yeah. Define debauchery for all the kids out there that don't know what
debauchery. Were they finger banging each other?
There was some fingering.
Really? Go on.
All these families move into this cul-de-sac, and after a few months, they're all best of friends because they're all the same age. You know, there's probably 8 houses.
Right.
They're all the same age. They all have kids the same age.
Big mistake.
All the garage doors are open.
Yeah.
So every night, you know, everybody's garage hopping. How you doing, Larry? Oh, I'm doing good, Stan. Why don't you come on in and drink 9 beers with me?
Yeah. Drink 9 beers and may say some inappropriate shit about my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. That's how it happens.
So you know, it starts. So they all become. They just get too familiar. You know, they're always hanging out. You know,
dude. I'm glad you're telling me this story because this is a cautionary tale. Because I actually do. I mean, we've got a lot of young families in our home and in our neighborhood.
Sure.
And I'm not saying I haven't had any experiences like this, but this is a good reminder of like I should just continue to like. Dislike those people and not get involved.
Continue to live in your bubble.
Yeah.
Don't reach out to anybody but me once every couple months when you come out of your shell and come sit with me for an hour. But no, every marriage on that cul-de-sac fell apart. Infidelity, bankruptcy, you name it, it happened in that cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
Now my Mitch moved into a cul-de-sac.
Oh, no.
And he's being best friends with all of his neighbors now.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I'm always seeing pictures of them on Facebook.
Oh, no.
Going out and doing things.
Is Mitch married?
He's married and has 2 kids.
Oh, Mitch, your fucking wife's going to be fucking fucking around with your neighbor, dude. Don't invite that fucker over. Keep it in the family. Put the garage door down and invite your fucking family members over.
Yes, and that's it. And I've warned him, and I've warned him.
Don't fucking get to know your neighbors, dude.
No.
Fuck those motherfuckers.
Yeah, fuck them.
Oh, what a nightmare.
Fuck them or they'll fuck you. They'll fuck your wife.
Oh, Mitch. Yeah, dude, I mean...
They'll drink all your beer.
Yeah, you don't want to...
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying when... As a rule, you know, when you get all these people and it all gets a little, everybody gets just a little too friendly and a little too familiar, and there's alcohol.
Yeah, alcohol.
Shit happens.
Yeah, Yeah, that's not good, dude.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
Be wary of cul-de-sacs.
Yeah, I think suburbs, I think, are, you know, contribute to that shit, too, because I think it's, you know, I think they just get in the, you know, it's that, what's that movie with Kevin Spacey?
American Beauty.
American Beauty, dude. It's like that type of shit, you know, they get out there and they're just like, eh. You know, they want to try to break up the monotony by fucking...
lifting weights, smoking weed, and buying...
grabbing their neighbor's wife's
hot rods.
Yeah, it can happen, dude. Gotta be on guard for that shit. Yeah, no, I don't know, man. It's just, you know me, dude. The thing that's most compelling to me about the Wisecracking with Winter is just, you know, the everyday life, which is why I had sent you that clip, but you didn't watch it, so you can watch it next time. Maybe if the listener wants to see for reference next time, you can watch Eric Dayton's podcast or TED Talk about, what's it called? Step Into the Punch or something?
Yep, Step Into the Punch.
Basically, it's one of the Dayton fucking kids. I mean, I could get on a big whole deal about it, but he wants to basically like rebrand Minnesota as like not being in the Midwest. Because for his mind, it's like not cool enough. So we should be calling ourselves the North.
Well, I don't even know who the fuck it is.
I kind of like that.
Oh, fuck. It just annoys the fuck out of me, dude. It's like... and he has this like boutique clothing store where they sell stocking caps that say North on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now he's taking it too far. I mean, if he just said we live in the North, that'd be enough for me. We don't need any...
No, it's like a whole branding thing. It's
really?
Yeah, it's like we're trying to be, because we're not, you know, it's like, because the North is like, you know, we're hardy and we're this and that and blah, blah, blah.
And we're closed off emotionally and passive aggressive. Why don't we get some stocking hats that say passive aggressive as long as we're at it?
I mean, the thing is, it's like, to me, it's like you're giving into that douchebag coastal thing of like the Midwest. It's like, dude, the Midwest is cool as shit, and you should just own it, and you shouldn't be like, oh, you know, the Midwest is, you know, it's like, oh, I don't want to be the Midwest, because I'm, like, more cooler than that, so I'm the North, you know, it's like, I don't know, it annoys the fuck out of me, but...
Is the North trending now, though?
Well, this motherfucker, because he's, like, a trust fund Dayton kid, you know, he's been in, like, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, he's got fucking... You know, the North Loop is like a neighborhood in Minneapolis.
Right.
Where, you know, it's shitloads of fucking rich millennial fucking out-of-towners living in loft apartments and shit. And they're walking around with fucking, you know, big beards and fucking wearing North hats.
Hipster assholes.
Yeah. And I just want to go up and be like, dude, did you go to North High? And just see them, like, try to explain to me why the fuck they're wearing a hat that says North. Where they're like, no, man, it's because, you know, North, like, it's the North, and we're, you know, that's why I'm wearing a Duluth pack, and I'm fucking on Washington Avenue, you know?
Drinking a micro beer.
Right.
Are you over the micro beers yet?
I have never partaken in micro beer.
I've tried.
Yeah.
It's just getting way too fucking cute for me.
Yeah, I don't fuck with that, dude. Whenever I hear people talking about beer, like, it's like wine and shit, I don't have time for that shit, dude.
Me neither.
I don't have time for it, dude.
No.
The hops and the flavor profile and that type of shit, dude. Get that shit out of my face.
Yeah, they drink it like wine.
Yeah, get that out of my
face. I've gone over to the Fulton Brewing Company in Minneapolis. Yeah. It's a small microbrewery.
Yeah.
And I've seen grown men sitting there and swirling beer in a glass and then staring at it and then sniffing it and then fucking drinking it.
See, that's the difference.
Paul does that shit.
Right.
Yeah, when I go out to, you know, microbrewery.
Does he? Is Paul
like
that
you know, I'm into it. I like to sniff the beer and... taste it. I like to know
fucking have a pale ale and a fucking extra pale ale
extra
and a fucking
pale
winter ale and a fucking shandy this and that. Fuck you. Yeah, that's the different. Listen, but you know what? That is the married. See, those are the guys who are not fucking banging their neighbor's wife. So I will give them credit for that.
Okay.
They're sitting around with their fucking goofy ass friends admiring the fucking amber hues of a fucking chestnut ale, you know, while some other dickwad is fucking powering down Coors Light and fucking putting his arm around your wife.
Right.
Fucking neighborhood barbecue.
On the cul-de-sac.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Is it time to do what did I learn today?
What did you learn today, Mike?
Dude, here's what I learned. I learned that I hate Santa Claus. And we're probably never going to agree on that subject, so there's really no point in readdressing that anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and continue to hate Santa Claus. Bill Cosby, he's going to eventually end up in jail. I don't care if he pretends that he has Alzheimer's and he's losing it and he has a cane and he's wearing sunglasses and he's calling everybody Claire. That motherfucker's still going to jail. The Super Bowl, I'm going to pick it now. I'm going to go with Carolina. I'm going to stick with Richie. I'm going with Carolina. They're going to win, but they're not going to win by more than 6. Twitter versus Facebook. If you're really into fucking taking pictures of your meal and looking at kids' pictures, stick with Facebook. But if you really want to be hip and with it and wow and now, head on over to Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram and do some marketing there and meet some new people. I've met lots of great new people on Twitter, and I'm so glad I spent time on that. Thanks again, Rob Harrison, who's probably not listening anyway. At my uncle's funeral, I ended up getting super drunk at the wake, playing in between with my cousins until 1 a.m. in the morning, and then getting up at 8 and throwing up, and then going to a funeral. So that's classy. And like the last most important thing is, if you live in a cul-de-sac, either move out or completely shut yourself off from your neighbors, because otherwise they're gonna end up doing that finger banging thing that Richie was talking about. You know, they're going to get your wife coming in 15 minutes, and you're going to be packing your fucking bags and moving back to the city where you belong anyway. All right, so that's pretty much it. I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for coming in, Richie. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Always great shows. And I'm going to go ahead and let Mitch take us out. But before I do that, I'm playing a new song by a band called Cookie Crotch Nuts. It's one of my new favorite bands from Milwaukee.
They will not be at the Super Bowl halftime.
They will not, but they should be.
Cookie Crotch Nuts.
And the song I'm going to play today is going to be a song called Disgraceland. So enjoy that after Mitch gets done with his patter, and have yourself a great fucking week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that show was certainly something. I'm Mitch, executive producer of Wisecracking with Winter. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of Mike, email him at wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com. If you're into Facebook, check out our Wisecracking with Winter fan page or follow us on Twitter at @GetWisecracking. Make sure to listen and rate the show on iTunes and check us out on Google Play Music.
witches in bars.
All hail the king. By the world of coke and sing.
DEA, the golden throne. Your ghost is the only one home.
Clog the pipes with peanut butter, bacon, and banana.
All hail the king. By the world of coke and sing.
God and me.
When I try to speak, my hands are shaky and my knees are weak. Can barely stand on my own two feet. I bet you it's got control of me. I'm fucked!
I'm a whole sugar.
The rust fade, the American dream. What it takes to be the next big thing. Swallow the pill, just help me heal. Are these the shoes that you want to fill? A tortured life, here it's collapsing. Turns to drugs, no fucking business happening. It's love or just say when you're here to entertain.
Sails through sky high, but never exceeded its food supply. Overweight and alone, your chemo rock died up on the throne.
Cry on me.